Marty Hogren is here with the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary. Hi, Marty. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks a lot. Good morning.
To talk about water safety, you're the one, you know, everybody's in the theater watching the shark movie, and they're saying, don't go in the water, don't go in the water. And Marty's saying, put your life jacket on,
right?
That's
at least
what you're saying.
Your body will float to the surface. And
you'll be easier to find
once
the shark chomps you if you have your life jacket on. You brought some flashcards for us this morning. I think Marty is the first guest ever to have brought flashcards. This is pretty cool. But these are statistics about
last year's boating accident.
Last year's boating accidents. And, I mean, this is something. So I'm going to read the last one. All deaths in 2016 were in boats less than 26 feet.
There were 21 fatalities last year in Virginia waters, and all of them were on vessels less than 26 feet long. So these are not big boats. They're all small craft.
Small craft. Mm-hmm. 16 victims. This is number 20 of 21. 16 victims were not wearing a life jacket of the 21 boating deaths.
Didn't we just have that in the news yesterday?
Yeah, 16 of the 21 were not wearing life jackets.
Correct.
Jackets. Mm-hmm. Wow. And you brought in some publications that show people enjoying water, lakes and streams, and they're not wearing life jackets, and it drives you crazy.
It does. I mean, I was on Facebook yesterday, and our friend is on vacation, and the husband is in a kayak, and he's holding a two-year-old in a life jacket, but he's not wearing one.
Well, that was the news that yesterday was the guy who owned the Italian restaurant.
And with the kayak,
turned over his kayak and was not wearing a life vest.
Mm-hmm. 20 of the 21 boating deaths were drownings.
Correct. 21 deaths, 20 were drownings. So people who, and then 16 of those 20 were not wearing life jackets.
But don't you get people say, but look, I know how to swim. I'm not going to drown or anything like that.
Right, right. And one of the events, two kayakers went out into the Chesapeake, which is the only deep water event last year. They had gone out to fish, paddled out to a buoy, and they decided to drift and fish, paddle back to the buoy, and then head back. And one kayaker turned around, and he saw his buddy was out of his boat. Well, this was December 28th.
Oh my goodness.
That's bad news. Yes.
And he had a life jacket on, but he died of hypothermia. You know, that's just... people don't expect to end up in the water. And it would be similar if you said the rule for your seatbelt would be you don't have to wear your seatbelt, but you have to have it ready to put on in an emergency.
When you crash.
Right.
And the life rule in the water for a life jacket?
It is. You don't have to wear your life jacket. It has to be, you have to have them on board, the proper size, readily accessible is the language in the regulation. In the event of emergency, but once you've fallen in the water, if it's cold or if you were hurt, if you're trying to rescue someone else, like this guy the other day trying to help his daughter and the dad drown, it's too late once you end up in the water.
How long has that been on the books? I mean, it seems as a kid, it was sort of suggested, hey, have these, but you know, no one was going to force you.
It's been at least since the implementation of the boater education law back 10 years ago, at least.
Ago?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. If not before that.
Another statistic, three deaths out of the 21 from last year were in kayaks.
Three were in kayaks,
mm-hmm.
Four were in canoes, and five were in flat, short John boats, just rowboats. So more than half of the fatalities were in boats under 16 feet and paddlecraft.
And Brian mentioned the one that was from a couple of days ago with the restaurant owner in Roanoke. It was in Carvin's Cove. He was in a kayak. People saw him in the water, and they think he might have had, or I think police are trying to determine if he might have had a medical condition, but he didn't have a life jacket on. So regardless, even if it had been a medical condition, his chances of survival would have been greater because at least he would have been
buoyant.
Buoyant,
right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Floating. So,
there are those events where the boater has some medical emergency, mm-hmm. and the life jacket isn't necessarily going to help him. But in the vast 80% of the cases, the absence of the life jacket is the biggest factor.
How's this season shaping up so far? We have, I've been reading some articles about how crowded Smith Mountain Lake is and things like that. How is this?
What, Smith Mountain Lake is crowded?
I know, but yeah, how's it shaping up safety wise?
There was an accident just up at Lake Anna the other day where I believe a fatality was involved. So it's probably typical. Sadly, Alaska is at twice this time last year than it was. Twice this year than it was at this time last year. So they're on pace to double their statistics in Alaska. And some states, North Carolina is similar. All of the statistics sort of track fairly consistently across the board.
You can imagine Alaska having a disproportionate number of water deaths, boating accidents, what have you, just given the nature of the state. Let me ask you something that we were talking about before, and you wasn't as bad as I thought, but I always wonder, we have this, you know, how many, you know, boating accidents, injuries, deaths are caused because people are drinking when they're out on water.
There is a concern by law enforcement about the use of alcohol on the water. The measurement is the same as you're driving, 0.08 for 21 or over. However, the studies show that the use of alcohol on the water, your body's response to it is triple for volume while you're out on the water. So smaller amount can leave the operator impaired and create an accident. And he's still under the limit, but he's impaired enough that, you know, it could cause property damage or injury.
You've been on the air with us from time to time to talk about the new boating safety laws. Have those laws made a difference?
They have seen an effect, but as the right now, every boater, every vessel operator is required to have the boating safety certificate on board. And then we get newer boaters, the younger 14, 15-year-olds, and then people who are getting into boating late, they would still need it. But the vast majority are operator error. You know, failure to this case with the jet ski last year. I mean, he was charged with navigation rule violations, failure to maintain a proper lookout, failure to obey the nav rules.
This was in the case you're talking about. I'm not sure if we talked about it on the air. We were talking about it before we went on the air.
This
right?
Fatality at Smith Mountain Lake last year with the PWC, it was hit by a boat.
She was on a jet ski, right?
Correct.
It was a girl. She was on a jet ski and was hit by a boat. And
correct.
So a lot of these things are just people being careless.
Yeah, and not following. One of the maritime rules is you must maintain a proper lookout at all times, regardless of the size of vessel. So for someone who was involved in an accident, say, well, I didn't even see him. Well, that's an admission of a violation. Because the rules state that all vessel operators must maintain a proper lookout at all times.
So you all recommend, as we speak with Marty Hallgren, the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, that if you are headed out in any kind of, whether it's a kayak or a canoe or a boat or a jet ski or whatever, you should have on a life jacket. Not just have it handy, but have it on.
That would be our strongest urge, is that you wear the life jacket. Find one that's comfortable. If you want to use an inflatable, a fanny pack type life jacket, but get a life jacket that you're comfortable with, that's you know how to operate it, you know how to rearm it if you deploy your inflatable, and just have it on. We tell our children, put your seatbelts on, wear your seatbelts, and we don't carry this over as well in the boating side of it, that, you know, everybody wears a life jacket. It's not required. They are required to be on board. However, in many of these cases last year, when the vessel was recovered, life jackets weren't even on board, you know, much less worn.
Are they, have the life jackets evolved, though, to where they're less confining, and you feel like you can, you know, because that's why a lot of people don't wear them, is because, wow, it's going to be over my body, it's
right,
going to be hot,
right.
And, you know, but are they, so they've gotten better. You mentioned the little fanny pack.
Yeah, a fanny pack is,
okay.
has a CO2 canister that inflates it instantly. It's already halfway strapped around your waist. You just slip it over your head. There are wristlets, a canister, and a flotation device for a wrist. A whole variety of them. But again, if whatever device you decided to bring on board, you should wear it. And inflatables, if the inflatable life jacket is your choice, the law says you're required to wear your inflatable. You can't have it on board like the other life jackets.
Okay. Did you see the story? It's been, a month or so ago, of the guys who got air mattresses and went down the James River. And I just think if you saw that story, Marty, you just would have...
explodes.
Yeah, Marty's head explodes when he sees the guys.
And they've been drinking all day, too.
Yeah, and towing a cooler and the cooler's probably got a better life jacket than any of them, right? Yeah.
What do you do? What do you say when you see stories like that?
You just have to shake your head. There's the Darwinian few that are out there. I'm sorry.
It has to be frustrating to you, though, every time you read about some kind of an accident in which somebody's drowned and they weren't wearing a life jacket, and a life jacket very well could have saved
their
life.
Well, the follow-up is, it's not over. You know, the accident happened. We grieve. We bury our loved ones, or we enter rehab for injuries. But what you can do is look at the follow-up a year and a half later. It goes to court, and then all the testimony is all, and then sentencing. So it's that day and the immediate aftermath. But then it doesn't end, because here a case in New Hampshire, there were two women boating. She was intoxicated. She was the leader of a powerboat club, ran aground and killed her girlfriend in the crash. Mm. Well, it went to trial, and part of her penalty was to pay the funeral costs, which is kind of an ouch.
Yeah, I mean, it does have some symbolic value to it.
Yeah, and it's something you're never going to forget, sadly. Yeah.
Where can folks find out more information, Marty, about
Go to U.S.
safety?
Coast Guard, okay. Office of Boating Safety, and all that information is there. And the Coast Guard they're all about recreational boating safety. And you can contact me through my email. Can I give that out?
Absolutely.
It's M.G. Hallgren, Hallgren, at liberty.edu. And I'd be happy to talk with you or your group about boating safety and how to improve it, or schedule a boating class if you want to do that for some people who would like to do that. But we encourage people to wear the life jacket.
Marty, thanks so much. We'll
and
talk to you soon.
And thank you very much.